Well, the Nova Scotia Legislature began its fall sitting, and as of just about a minute ago, Premier Stephen McNeil has called on the legislature to hold an emergency debate on climate change as it moves into question period already. That's something for us to follow a bit later, but the big story so far today was everything to do with stadiums. The proposal, or at least part of it, was released today to Halifax residents and to the world, as a matter of fact. 902-405-6000. Ozja Lander is a sports economist. He has been studying stadium issues. We caught him between classes at Concordia University. Ozja, thank you very much again for being on the program.
My pleasure. I think we have your weather here, too, by the way. It's raining and really kind of cool. I heard you're 15 and sunny, so
oh,
you want your weather back.
Yeah, no, we're good. We'll take it. Oh, okay. We'll keep what we got. Speaking of keeping what we got, what did you see in the five options that were presented here by the sports and entertainment group, Schooner Sport and Entertainment, when it comes to a close to $100 million stadium?
I don't think it was anything that we weren't already anticipating, right? We had already kind of had enough leaks and interviews with Anthony LeBlanc to know that we were going to see a Shannon Park location somewhere in that 20 to 25,000 feet range, the downgrading of the stadium to one side of permanent seating and another side of temporary. I think it's all kind of pretty much what we saw. It's just that now we actually have the report that goes with it.
When we see this, some have interpreted it, and maybe you have an opinion about this. It looks like the Schooner Sport and Entertainment Group says, we'll operate it, we'll pay that money, but we pretty much want taxpayers to build it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the way that we've seen arenas and stadiums go in Canada over the last, say, 15 to 20 years, which is you can have every aspect of the arena. We'll just basically pay maintenance and operating costs. Beyond that, we don't want anything to do with it, and that's to get the public purse to pay the big heavy lifting costs, which is construction and development.
Where should we be looking for perhaps clues or data or information that will give us an idea of how much this could cost taxpayers?
So the real cost is going to be invisible. The $90 million figure, the phase one, phase two cost, that stuff is reasonably transparent, and say for cost overruns, that's probably a reasonable number. Where we're going to not see things is in that incremental tax bit. That TIF model, which is being used across Canada now as a justification for sports construction, taxpayers won't see that transparently, and that's usually going to be a big, big number.
Option number four says loan guarantee. Others are upfront cash or perhaps, this TIF or tax incremental funding. What model did they use in Winnipeg that taxpayers ended up on the hook for the entire cost?
Yeah, that's the loan guarantee. When the province jumps in and says, don't worry, we'll underwrite you and we're pretty sure you've got all of your business model in place. When the business model doesn't return the investment that was expected, then the province is left holding the bill at the end of the day. That one, though, is just a transparent form of all of the other options. It's still going to cost the public purse the same amount of money no matter what. It's just how do you want the public purse to pay for it?
Ozja, as you said, much of this had been telegraphed, leaked, or perhaps people had already figured this is how it was going to look. Any surprise in this release today to you?
No, we get a little bit more of insight to their rosy projections, and that's always what's driving these models, is that they're going to create these assumptions. The very last schedule was a report from Deloitte saying that, say for thousands of caveats, here's why we think it's a good idea, that, you know what, even that, somebody had to say it, so fine, they got somebody to say it. I think what we're now going to see is just, how fast does this project move forward, and when can we get the final announcement that there will be Schooners football and you owe me a beer in the next 3 years.
Well, I'll pay up. Don't worry. Moshe Lander is here with us. And the other we reached out from our newsroom, Anthony LeBlanc, was not available through his lawyer. His lawyer said, yeah, we think this is a pretty good proposal. I don't know what else he would say.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Do you think for one moment that SSE is going to put forward a proposal that's not to the benefit of Anthony LeBlanc and the other major owners of the team? Remember at the end of the day that they're not doing this out of a sense of altruism. They're doing this out of a sense that this is a for-profit business operation, and what they are asking for is a way to maximize their profits. That's not necessarily consistent with balancing the province's budget, balancing the city's budget, benefiting the taxpayers in any particular way. It's just a commercial operation that's trying to get money out of any level of government that they can. And so I think that that's something that's important to remember as the project goes forward.
I think there's a lecture hall looking for Professor Lander. We'll let you get you back into the class. Moshe, thank you so much for this. We'll be talking real soon. Perhaps we'll get you back tomorrow.
You got it.
All right. Moshe Lander is a university professor who works in Halifax and at Concordia in Montreal. What's your take on this? As he said, this is a business proposal. Of course, the company involved is going to want to put its best case forward and put its best spin on it. 902-405-6000. Ed, what do you think?
Hey, Sheldon, how are you?
I'm all right.
I'm very much for the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around this proposal that they've come out with. Looks good to me for the most part. I think the big question for you guys, the person you need to go ask the question to first, is Mr. Stephen McNeil.
Hmm.
Because they're asking for $4 to $5 million a year from an increase in the hotel tax and a new car rental tax.
Yep.
Both are innovative taxes, which I think are smart ideas. But I think the question is, you know, Mr. McNeil, are you going to approve of this or no? And if he says, well, you know, like the city, we need more information on the benefits and what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody still needs to push him and say, yeah, but regardless of that, are you open to these new two taxes to make this happen? That's what jumps out at me so far.
Yeah.
From what I see here.
Yeah, I think he said no direct taxpayer money, but there's a proposal, as you say, to take it off of room nights or car rentals. So
that, exactly, yeah. Which he said he was open to. So yeah. I guess the big question is, will he do it now? I'm definitely for the stadium, Sheldon.
Yep.
We're a city approaching 500,000 people. There's no other city in North America our size that doesn't have a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The CFL is good football. I used to live in Montreal. It's great. I strongly believe that we will support it. You know, for the people who say, well, we won't support it, nobody in this city before 1994 watched the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
Yep.
Well, the Mooseheads are pretty much the darling of the city right now.
Well, there you go.
So,
Ed, ultimately, it's a political decision, and right now the politicians are the ones we're waiting to hear from. Good point.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you. Again, whether you like the stadium or not, whether you say you'll be a supporter or not, it will take an investment by taxpayers. It's here in black and white. It's in writing now. Brian sent a note. Who asked for the stadium proposal? The people who want to bring a team here. They have a CFL franchise, my understanding of it, contingent on whether or not they get a stadium built. And who builds the stadium? Not the team owners. Patrick, you're on the line. Hi.
Yes, hello.
What's on?
Not too much. I know you don't talk about the stadium, but I don't live in HRM and I don't pay taxes there. So if they want to waste their tax dollars, let them. As for my actual point of calling was regarding a young woman named Greta that addressed the UN this year or mm-hmm. this week.
Yep, Greta Thunberg Thunberg.
And this, she's completely impressed me. Like, I've been reading her bio, everything. Mm-hmm. And something that's been coming up that really bothers me is the old, rich, white guys that have been absolutely trying their hardest to discredit this girl and smear her name, and the cowardice behind it just drives me nuts. The fact that it's actually seeping across over into Canada is even more disgusting to me.
Yeah.
Maxi Bernier called her mentally ill or something.
Yeah, I saw a few of those comments, and this is a young woman who says, yes, I'm on the spectrum. When you hear her speak, though, there is passion. She's pretty clear that she, I'm surprised that people are surprised when I call her an activist, but that's what she did. It was an act of protest, sailing across the ocean, all of that, to bring attention to this. She wasn't challenging, she wasn't telling everybody they had to sail around the world if they want to go somewhere. She was doing that out of her own principles.
Exactly. And, you know, and I found listening, I watched her entire speech. I found she actually probably has a better grasp of the English language than either Trudeau or Trump. And it's not even her native language.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's brought this to all of a sudden. Is it just me or is climate change suddenly, even for a rival in North America, become the topic of conversation?
Well, as we there's
Nova Scotia are having an emergency meeting about climate change.
Exactly.
Banning
plastic.
Like, this is the most I've seen move forward on this topic or issue ever.
Yep. Thank you, Patrick. Your phone was cutting out a little bit, but yeah, it was, Patrick was just mentioning the provincial legislature is just going into an emergency debate on the climate crisis here in Nova Scotia. So it is happening. And for some, they'd be asking, well, that took a while. Why so long? But it is top of mind. So is the stadium conversation. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Sheldon. How you doing?
Doing okay. How you been? You feeling good? You feeling okay?
Not bad. I do a lot of research.
Yeah.
And, to be honest with you, I might as well look for little green men in what I'm getting from and across North America. There's no answers yet.
Yeah.
Most of the health places are afraid of lawsuits. I'm too old to get involved with a lawsuit.
Yeah, I hear you.
And but I've come up with something that is helping me, and it's good. Motivated me to get back on my feet.
Awesome. You wanted to mention something about the stadium.
Well, you know, Sheldon, I lived for years out in Saskatchewan, and you lived there too.
Yep.
And you know the love of that game out there in stadium.
Yep.
Now, what I'm looking at is basically questions, as far as I'm concerned, $94 million is a shock. And I believe you had some scientists on this week or last week concerning the within 10 years, the way the water is going, and already Halifax Harbor, is, a lot of businesses there are getting seriously in trouble.
Yep.
In 10 years, that stadium would be underwater. And another thing, they're talking about building a hotel. We're going to get taxes from that, and we're houses. Who's going to build a house there or a hotel that in 10 years it's not going to be there or are unlivable?
Yeah.
Who's going to pay? They don't say anything. Who's going to pay for the roads going in there? Who's going to? It's all the citizens. I think if we're going to have a stadium, one guy was on Rick's show there that was very interesting. He said, why don't we put a tender out and say, like Regina did when they ran into financial problems, and say, invest $5,000.
Yeah.
Now, that investment, we control the stadium. We lease it to the team. We run the advertising and the marketing. The money goes back into the stadium, and we can build a good one. And the investors in 25 years is getting their money back.
Yep.
Plus, so right now, by the looks of it, these guys, and you know something? In the States, they put tenders out, and I was shocked at it. They put tenders out for football teams that want to go there. In other words, they'll rent it to them, and they make money because they get sponsors, they sell their shirts. You know, in Moncton, what was it, $13 for a bottle of beer?
Yeah, I wasn't there, but yeah, I heard that too, Bob. It's all great points. Thank you so much for the call. 902-405-6000. A few of you want to talk about the stadium. Some others want to talk about the climate issues. The Saskatchewan Rough Rider Stadium, there was a government investment, and it was an $80 million grant, $100 million loan, but that loan was paid off through a $12 surcharge on all the tickets. So they actually have ticket sales paying off the loan in Saskatchewan. And the city there also put $73 million in funding, which was subsidized through property taxes. Same kind of deal as here. We'll take a break. More of your calls after this. You're listening to An Hour of Openness on News 95.7. Our Twitter poll question of the day. Time to take the temperature of the room. CFL stadium plan released. It'll be paid for by taxpayers. Are you in favor of it? 67% of the votes so far, no. 33% yes. What do you think? 902-405-6000, toll free 1-877-801-8255. Thank you for your patience, Jerry.
Hi, Sheldon.
You're up, man. You want to talk about the stadium?
Oh, yeah. No taxpayer money for a stadium. I've been following this story ever since Mike Savage went out on the road on his own. First day he was elected to look for a stadium. I think that's the only reason why he became mayor. Because he has a passion for it. That's great. But not at taxpayer expense. It looked really fishy to me when he hired Jacques Dubé from Moncton, that hired the CAO from there that's responsible for the $100 million arena in Moncton, and got him on board for Halifax. I mean, the whole soup stinks. So I've gone online and looked at different stadiums around North America. The Silver Dome is one that stands out. It's billions in debt, and the taxpayers bear most of that brunt. And football is on the wane in the States because of concussions and that kind of thing. And we on this side of the border don't have the caliber of football players that they do for the NFL. NFL watchers are more likely to watch the NFL, and most will say that they won't ever turn on the TV to watch a CFL game. This stadium started out as a CFL stadium. It's now a sports and entertainment stadium, and he's thrown everything at the wall. Anthony Long has thrown everything at the wall to see what would stick for taxpayer money. And in another time, he'd make a great snake oil salesman. I just don't like it.
And you say no. Thank you for the call.
I say no.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go. Is this Paul?
Hey, Sheldon. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. You feeling okay today?
Not too bad. I love you to death and that, too. But I got a fair bit of time to go inside, but... The thing is, this football deal, yeah. I think it's a poor one, and I'll be very honest with you. I don't care for any sports. I never watch them. Couldn't care less about them.
Yeah.
I like watching auto racing only for the crashes. But I think you're going to see, Sheldon, that this move to Moncton or somewhere like that, and I know Matt's a great football lover, but I think even Matt may have his own ideas about it. And I don't think it's going to work here. What do you think?
Well, you know, ultimately, Paul, this has got to be a political decision. And I'm not usually the first to run to, let's have a plebiscite, let's not have a referendum, politicians make tough decisions. That's why they're elected. That's why they run for office. So, if, in fact, one of our callers was right, and this is something Mike Savage really wants, and Mike Savage brings this forward, should we bring it to a vote? Should we ask taxpayers?
Let me ask you this. I don't know exactly. I know a fair bit about city council and so on, but
yeah.
Do you think Mike Savage should have the final decision whether or not we bring in a Canadian football league into our area?
Well, he's on council. He's the chair of the meeting. He's going to direct conversation. But here's the thing. If he doesn't run for mayor, what does it matter? He hasn't made up his mind or he hasn't announced publicly if he's going to run or not. So,
well, my understanding was he's not going to run again.
Yeah, and there's some people who feel that way. Yeah.
That's, I believe, what I've heard on your radio station there, that he's not going to run again.
Yeah, I don't think he's made it official yet. Paul, thank you very much for the call.
Listen. Yep. I'm going to be in there, and when I get out,
yes,
I'm going to do a fair bit of time. When I get out,
yep,
I want to come and tell you what it's really like.
All right. Well,
okay, God bless you, and I love you, and Matt.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, God bless you, brother.
We love you, Paul. Too. Cheers.
Yeah, bye-bye.
902-405-6000, toll-free, 1-877-801-8255. We're asking if you think it's a good idea or not. To the point of the mayor, and maybe he has been a champion of this. Maybe this is something Mike Savage has really been pushing for, or secretly it's something he was hoping. But if we take this to a referendum or a plebiscite and we ask people, when do we ask them? Do we ask them now? Do we wait until next fall's municipal election? And ultimately, though, the politicians who vote yes, because it is a political decision, well, they may pay a political price for it. But if Mike Savage doesn't reoffer his mayor, then there's no holding anyone to account. And I'm not saying he will or won't be reoffering, but this is ultimately a political decision. What do you think? Stadium, yes or no? 902-405-6000. We'll be right back. 902-405-6000, or toll-free 1-877-801-8255. We heard earlier today about the plans for a stadium. The proposal's been released, or at least some of the information has been released about where they're hoping to see the money come from. Part of it would be provincial dollars through funds raised through rental of a hotel room or a car. But what about Airbnb? Would they be paying a room surcharge in order to finance a stadium? I don't know. What do you think? Is this a good investment, a bad one? Maybe you've been wanting to weigh in on it. We'd love to hear from you. You've been waiting longest. Thank you, Sydney, for your patience.
Yes. My idea would be to talk to our friends, the Lottery Corporation, and even though it would be like a regional stadium with a CFL team, four kids sports lottery.
Yep.
We make a sports stadium, but each money for each, like New Brunswick, PEI, Newfoundland, that money is set aside for issues just like this in each of those provinces, and we fund it if we buy the lottery tickets.
Right.
Now, this climate change thing, why don't the provincial government get off the darn stupid pot, and when they go to build a new building for whatever, like nursing homes, hospitals, we have a new emergency office for an ambulance in Spryfield, but they didn't put solar panels on the building. They didn't put like small turbines on the little corner of the buildings to generate their own electricity. But why wouldn't that be like for a new government building I would like to see it on all buildings that they put even provincial and municipal, and have it in a bylaw that you put some kind of a little bit. It doesn't have to be 100% energy efficient, but a little bit of, like, if you put a few solar panels on a building and they use for like a backup backup emergency lighting and an elevator, wouldn't that help with the climate problem in the first place?
There are great points to be made. Thank you, Sydney, about using the rooftops. Other cities, states, and governments have said, let's invest in solar technology. Let's use the spaces on the tops of the buildings. Would that work in Nova Scotia? I don't see why not. I don't know. And to your point, there are programs to help homeowners find some efficiencies. That perhaps should be expanded again back to communities and government offices. Hi, Ken. Thanks for your patience. You wanted to talk about what?
Yeah, just about the extinction folks that were just on.
Yep.
They want to ban natural gas. They want to ban trees. They want to ban electricity. They want to ban. we live in the northern climate. How are we going to heat our homes? And by the way, I have solar on all my properties. Mm-hmm. It is a stopgap. It is not able to properly run any house 100%.
Yeah.
So when I hear these guys basically say that all electricity that is produced by alternative means like natural gas or whatever, what is their solution? Did she present a solution, Sheldon? I didn't hear one.
No, this is more about bringing this issue to politicians with the willingness, perhaps, and the ability to act. So Ken, no, they didn't ask, give me a specific list of things that they would do in replacement.
Sheldon, the next time these guys are on, instead of just having actions, present solutions. So instead of just going downtown and holding your placard, tell us how you're going to heat a home in Nova Scotia at minus 25 with no electricity, no oil, no natural gas. I would love to hear the answer to that.
Well, Ken, I thank you for the call. I do appreciate that. And that often comes up, this question of, well, what are we supposed to do? Or the, well, what about that? You flew across the country in a plane in order to protest. That all happens. But where do we start? And where do we end it? You got to take some action. I think this is more a movement to inspire politicians to have a conversation. And when the Premier of Nova Scotia, who to this point has not asked for an emergency debate on climate change, and then does so, is that in response to the pressure? You would have to say yes, that this is not an issue that politicians can ignore. Where's the alternatives? It's investment by governments instead of things like maybe stadiums, into ways to come up with environmental solutions to problems that have been ongoing. Greg, you want to talk about the environment.
Yeah, how you doing, Sheldon? I agree with what they're saying, but here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the protesters when they're going to China, which is China is the worst polluter in this world? Then there's Indonesia. There's Pakistan and India. My buddy was in Pakistan and India. He said, Greg, you wouldn't believe the stuff I'd seen. How they're just throwing raw waste in rivers, garbage everywhere. There's a haze over the place. But see, this is what I'm saying about we're always coming to North America and yelling at us and telling us what we have to do. But the rest of the world, some of them are not even paying attention to this. China is the worst one. Then there's Japan. I mean, but nobody's saying nothing to these people.
But I just did a quick Google search. China has been one of the driving forces behind energy efficiency gains in E4 countries, representing 80% of the efficiency gains across the six economies. So if China is moving towards it and growing, doesn't that show that you can grow your economy and be energy efficient if you take the time to do so?
Yeah, but like the other guy said, I mean, that's fine and dandy to have protests and everything else, which I agree with. But at the same time, you've got to present a alternative, a way of doing things, of saying, okay, this is how we're going to heat your house. This is how we're going to do this and do this and do this. Because Rome wasn't built in a day, Sheldon. You know that.
No, but it came down in just a couple. Greg, thank you for the call. And 902-405-6000, toll free, 1-877-801-8255. Matt?
It's something I've heard too, like, how come these kids aren't talking to China? How come Greta's not there? Well, I mean, to be fair, she was at the United Nations. I mean, it is.
Oh, that's all of the nations who are united.
Yes. So that's speaking to more than just North America.
Well, yeah, that's a point too. But yeah, energy efficiency in China is a thing. International Energy Agency, you can find reports. You can see that they've been working towards this for more than two decades. Well, in some cases, close to two decades. 902-405-6000. Chris, thank you so much for your patience. What's the issue that you wanted to bring up with us today? You're on, Chris.
Hello?
Yep, you're on.
Oh, gold mining, yes.
Yeah,
sorry. I was wondering why Mayor Savage was shown going around with the gold mine people. They're a big polluter, as you know.
Yeah.
And it'll be a big pollution. It'll be a big pollution with the air also.
It looked to me as though he was invited there, and there were a couple other councillors who were there as well. Part of this happens every once in a while. People are invited to take a look at an operation so they can judge it, or at least
now, are they allowed? Like the premier and all his cronies, the ones that are shoving these down our throats, are they allowed to buy stocks in gold companies?
Are they allowed? You know? I don't think there would be anything stopping them from doing so. I don't know what the conflict of interest laws say about municipal politicians. I don't.
Could you find that out for me?
We could ask the question. Sure.
I would love to know.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I did. Sorry. If you want to call back with your other point, we do have some space at the table. We're going to take a break. Back in a minute. Jeff, you're on hold. I know Edward wants to talk about the stadium. Tim wants to talk about the environment. Something you want to bring up with us? 902-405-6000. Back after this. 902-405-6000. 1-877-801-8255. John tweets at us. Ken might be waiting a long time if he thinks he'll hear any solution on here. So, John, what's your answer? How do you solve the climate crisis as some have described it? What's your answer? I know some of you have said, okay, it's fine that they're protesting, but you know what should we do? How should we be heating our homes? Perhaps doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result is not perhaps going to change anything. We got to start somewhere, don't we? At least the conversation is somewhere. Jeff, you wanted to talk about the stadium, did you?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment about this. I am not a supporter of the stadium. It's based solely on a few random concerts and CFL football. Because I do not believe CFL football is going to put enough people in seats to even come close to making this a viable venture whatsoever.
Right.
And second thing, concerts, sure, we might get a few, but what people don't often think about, we're off the tour circuit a little bit, stuck out here a little further away from more central areas in the country in northeastern U.S.
Yep.
And that's a part of that.
Well, yeah.
I believe.
I was going to say, the other question is, who's playing stadiums these days? I mean, are you going to get the Foo Fighters? Are you going to hope that the Arkells could fill a stadium?
Well, you might get some people to fill it, but you wouldn't get many. But the point is, we're not also in a place where, like, we're too far off the beaten path to have anything in the concert circuit to be significant to add to a CFL football team. Personally, I think that if we had, I mean, look how successful the Wanderers are. I think if we had a good pro soccer team besides the Wanderers, maybe an MLS team. I bet you with both, the stadium might be viable. Certainly not with one.
Right. And again, Jeff, where I keep going back to it, this is going to be a political decision. And the only reason the politicians will go for it is if they feel the public supports them and that they're not going to lose votes over it. Do you think if they were to say yes tomorrow, they would lose votes next time?
I think so. I think there's more people probably opposed to this that would... angry people tend to vote more than ones that are happy.
That's apparent. Jeff, thank you for the call. Take care. Let's go to Edward. He wanted to talk about the stadium as well. Hi, Edward.
Hi, Mr. McLeod.
What's your thought about a stadium?
Well, yeah, I've been a CFL fan all my life. I've been to numerous Grey Cups and with my son. I'm going out this year to Calgary. He's got Stampeder season tickets. And all you hear is negativity. And I'm not saying you're like that because I don't think you're like them that call in. And those are the people that call in. But there is a big difference between opinion versus fact. And what upsets me, and this is not, I'm not being negative.
No, this is be your opinion, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just being factual. Like, Mayor Savage threw a wrench into this. And the reason we're getting this really rinky-dinky Mickey Mouse little stadium, that's what it is. It's more like a U.S. college, sorry, U.S. high school stadium, so if you really look at it, is because he's the one that changed it to a community stadium. It's like Wayne Mason / Mayor Savage Community Stadium. It's not a CFL stadium. And for the commissioner to say it's a world-class stadium, Mr. Ambrosi, and for LeBlanc to say that, oh, it's a slash between Ottawa's new stadium and Hamilton's, it's not true. Just look at it. I mean, who's going to sit on the other side with benches and outhouses? And how would they ever, I just read a comment online, how would the CFL ever give, because if within 10 years you're supposed to get a Grey Cup game, they would never get awarded a Grey Cup game with this type. This is a joke. One, a half a stadium, And but this is what really bothers me. You can blame this all on Mayor Savage and the city councilors. And McNeil, he's given, what, $80 million to the art gallery and nothing for the stadium. Same with the city. This is a joke. Tell Mayor Savage when he's on tomorrow, ask him about his monkey wrench, and tell him, if you're going to build a stadium, this is 2019, build a real CFL model stadium, or get out of town and tell them to go to Quebec City where they would open our arms and build a real CFL stadium that could host a Grey Cup game.
All right, Edward.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Just looking at what the capacity is for Taylor Field, well, what used to be Taylor Field, now Mosaic Field, 33,350 expandable to 40,000. They held the Grey Cup there a few years ago. Was it a sellout? I don't know if they sold 40,000. Well, let's be honest, even if it's a capacity of 40,000. Some people are getting in because they're sponsors. Some people are getting in for free. 902-405-6000, toll free, 1-877-801-8255. Thank you, Tim. You want to take on the environment, do you?
I don't want to take it on, Sheldon, but you know, here's what I'll say. It all starts with leadership and for people to get informed. You can sit back, and I say we, the collective, can sit back and do absolutely nothing, or we better find a solution, because if the scientists are wrong, it could be catastrophic. It may cost us a hell of a lot more money than we are willing to spend short-term. So short-term, yeah, it may cost some money. Long-term, it's the best thing to do, both for the environment and for the youth, and that at the very end, they deserve just that.
All right. Thank you for your call, Tim. Let's hear. Head up to, is it Blackford? Is that who we have now?
Yes, that's correct.
And yep. And you wanted to speak on the environment.
Well, actually, I was motivated to call a while back when I heard this fellow spieling off some inaccuracies about China.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, I've been listening to all these other people.
You want to talk about the stadium, do you?
Well, I could work my way back through it.
Okay, do
as
it.
As for the stadium and the football, to me, I think that the right thing to do would be banning the football, because it's pretty well a proven fact that it's concussive brain damage is a concomitant of that sport. And whereas soccer is safer to play, and it is a world sport, and it is growing rapidly here, there are probably more kids playing here, kids playing soccer in Nova Scotia, certainly than football and even hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of a multi-purpose stadium would be good, I think. And it should be, if it's going to be built, it should be for, firstly, maybe for soccer.
There is some flexibility built into the plan. It says alignment with the municipality's strategic recreation plans, such as yada, 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 opportunity to impact municipal assets, giving open space a place for kids to go. So, I mean, they're at least offering some of that. But again, in return, they want lots of money. They want a lot
of
money.
But I do think the football should be banned. And as much as I like watching boxing, it probably should be too. There have been three fellows, I think, killed this year who died within hours of boxing matches. But let me move on. To the environment, I would say regarding that in the upcoming election, that if we are concerned about environment, the only player in the competition politically now, federally, who is the real deal is Elizabeth May. Mr. Scheer and his party, they have little interest in doing anything much about the environment. He's from the same ilk as Stephen Harper. They had so little interest in doing taking environmental precautions and screenings that they couldn't get any pipelines built because they would do nothing about the environmental impact studies that would go with that. I think that Mr. Trudeau is a little bit of a poser on that, but he has some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Mr. Singh. But the real deal, who is really knowledgeable about this, and I think more knowledgeable about anything you can name than the other competitors, is Ms. May, who's a lawyer, an author, and she's been an environmental activist since she was practically a little girl.
Well, Blackford,
you will recall when she was fighting against the spray in Cape Breton when she was just a youngster.
Yep.
Now, China, quickly.
Yep.
Some facts about China. They are currently the leaders in building and developing electric cars. They're way ahead of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 1.5 billion people. about 40 to 50 times our population. So certainly, no matter what they do, they're going to put out more pollution than Canada.
Right.
And as for the other aspects of China, they recently did a four-decade retrospective. The Chinese leader, one of them, I don't know which one it was, but he was on CNBC one night for about 4 hours, speaking to a massive audience in a massive hall. And a few facts from that that are not being contested in the West here. One, that in the last four decades, they have raised 700 million people out of poverty. And their average annual GDP increase has been close to 15% over that period. None of the Western, and I'm not a communist, by the way, but none of our Western free enterprise so-called societies and economies have come anywhere close to that kind of advancement. Do you remember when, his name just escapes me, Paul Martin, when he was prime minister briefly, or perhaps when he was finance minister, I remember when he vowed that in 10 years, child poverty would be eradicated in Canada.
That was back in 2000. And
now it's hardly improved at all, and there would only be maybe 4 million kids to raise out of poverty.
Yeah. China's
raised 700 million. Another thing about this, on the aspect of human rights and so on, China has got five times the population of the United States. And in China, there are fewer people in jail and prison than there are in the USA. Think about that.
We thank you for the call, Blackford. Last call. Dwayne, you just got about 25 seconds. Sorry about that.
It's been very good. I was just listening to the conversation today about red light, right turns.
Yeah.
To protect. Well, if I'm making a right turn on a red light, the person crossing the intersection to my right also has a red light, so they shouldn't be in the damn intersection.
All right.
We talk about things without thinking them through.
Dwayne, thank you for that. I appreciate it. That's all we had time for right now. Big hour. Thank you for all your calls. And we said something about tickets to Sebastian Maniscalco. It's his tour, You Bother Me. And we've got two tickets to give away. Don't we? Do we not?
Yeah.
When do you want to do this?
Not right now.
Okay, not right now. Coming up, a chance for you to beat the box office. And Sebastian Maniscalco. We'll be back, and we'll tell you when to call for your chance to win. After the break, we're talking about a benefit for Hurricane Dorian.